Hi everyone, and welcome to our next episode of The Advice You Didn't Take. And we have a special guest in the building. Well, not really in the building, but the internet has allowed us to do great things, which is amazing. Could you introduce yourself for us, Vanessa?
My name is Vanessa Sanyake, and I'm the founder of Girls Talk London.
Yes, so you are indeed. Thank you for taking your time out today on this Sunday to grace us with your presence. We've known each other for quite some years now, and the growth between both of us has just been...
I know. It's been really like amazing.
Met up and we've been down in the dumps, and we're like, oh, this shit's too hard kind of thing. And it's like, sorry, you can, you know, use language if you want to. Don't feel like you have to. You can be lax if you want to. This is super informal. So we met, like, how many years ago did we meet?
It must be about maybe 2010, so maybe like 7 years ago,
Or it could be 2009 going into 2010.
I think it was around those years.
And so we were a part of this club called the 2010 Club, which was basically, how would we describe it, like an entrepreneurial kind of informal meetup for women of color, basically.
It
was put together by a lady called Octavia Spence, and she was a phenomenal woman. And for me specifically, just seeing somebody being able to bring together like young girls and girls that are just trying to get it in, especially of women of color, was absolutely phenomenal, and I always left on a high. How do you think that helped to impact you and the things that you're actually doing now?
It was, I mean, Octavia was, you know, a pioneer, because obviously nowadays it's the trend, everyone has to have some women's thing.
Yeah.
But she was doing it when there was nothing there.
There was literally nothing, right?
Exactly. For, you know, black women in you know, in business, especially like, you know, young people. So it definitely changed, you know, my life. It gave me encouragement.
Yeah.
And Octavia was really supportive when I was starting at Girls Talk London. She helped me think about how to impact girls, and she was really supportive. So it definitely shaped who I am today, and a lot of the women, we still speak.
So yeah, I do as well. I obviously Runke was mentoring me, Catherine, I speak to you, and I see some of the other ladies buzzing along online, and it's just so funny that something as small as a meetup could really allow us to kind of put ourselves forward with confidence, if that makes sense. Because every time I left, my confidence level just continued to rise. Because we were young, right? We didn't really know what we were doing per se. We knew what we wanted to do, but we didn't really have the tools or the gift of the gab, if you wanted to push it in the direction that we was going. But because we could see these other women doing the do already, it gave us that extra, you know, clout in a way.
Exactly. You're right. So I think it was just definitely just like a sisterhood.
Absolutely.
I
wanted to touch on a bit more about your business, because you have multiple handles of what you actually do, and I want the world to know more about what you do, because you are so goddamn humble with your offering. It's crazy. Like, people don't know that you are really doing this thing. Can you tell us?
I do a lot of things. So I'm the founder of Girls Talk London. So it's a business that connects women with FTSE 100 businesses and brands.
Yeah.
So we're all about helping women really progress in their careers and start their own businesses and just, you know, boss it up.
Yeah.
And then I've been doing that nearly 5 years, coming this January.
Where did the passion come from for you to go down that route? Like, your background is corporate and,
I've always done stuff to help people. So, you know, before that, I started the Refugee Network, which was an award-winning social enterprise mentoring young people.
Yeah.
But again, like, it's weird because certain industries become the in thing.
Yes.
And they get diluted. Yes. So it started to become everyone wanting to set up a youth charity to help, you know, youth and this. And then it just became really uninspiring.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I kind of thought, you know what? There's so much out there. Let me just move on. And my passion was always wanting to help young girls. I've always wanted to do something with young girls.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know what? There wasn't at the time that much around supporting girls and women. And I just thought there's a gap. So let me just try and set up something.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked the idea of Girls Talk, you know, because I present as well. and host. And so, you know, I love to talk. So I thought, let me just bring my passions together.
Absolutely.
And get girls talking, sharing stories, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Do you think that one of the reasons why you created Girls Talk as well was because of the lack of advice or support that you had when you was coming up in industry? Or do you think it was just that was your nature, you know?
I think a bit of both. I think when I was, especially younger, you know, my parents kind of forced me to kind of, you know, pursue medicine. I didn't have any kind of really accessible role models of women, UK-based women, people that I could touch to say, you know, this is what I'm doing and you can do this if you want to, you know, because I really wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a journalist. That's my passion. And I wanted
but
to
you
present.
Can't go home to African parents and be like, writing. What kind of writing?
Exactly, that's not going to roll. But if I had somewhere to kind of go online and look at blogs and see role models, I would probably believe, actually, you know what, I can do it.
Yeah.
So that's what I kind of wanted to do, because I knew that if I had that, my life would have been totally different, you know. So,
Do you think, because I struggle heavily with the fact that I don't really see enough people in the UK representing who I am or where I'm trying to get to. And it is quite frustrating for me because of how my mind works. I feel like some, you know, it's so cliche to say, you know, I'm ahead of the curve and stuff like that. And I feel like that is a very overused statement now. But a lot of the stuff that I have been doing in terms of business and stuff has always been a bit ahead of what was going on in the market. So, but a lot of my inspiration always seemed to come from abroad as opposed to the UK. And why do you think that is?
Oh my God. I think it's because, you know, in the UK, I guess maybe because we are a small island, people forget that we are a powerful island, but small.
Yeah.
So in terms of, you know, lots of examples, in terms of the you know, the number of people of colour, we're very, very small in number, whereas in America and Africa, there's just so much more choice.
Yeah.
So I think it's just because the character of it. It's the culture. I think in America, it's slightly more ambitious. I think in the UK, because we're still kind of the after effects of the immigrant generation, and, you know, get a good job, be safe. So there's not really many examples of people that really were aspirational.
Yeah.
We're going to start changing it, because now we're going for our dreams, and then, like, our children's children will have more, you know, black UK role models to look up to. I think that's why.
I think it's so crazy because obviously there were people making some type of moves, like the movement of So Solid, Mobo Awards and things of that nature came from somewhere, you know what I mean? And I can't tell you how much when I was younger, I mean, I was in bed, but I was watching shows like the Mobo Awards when I was younger, people like Beverly Knight just killing it. And then all of a sudden it's kind of like that stuff just gone, or even if it's there still, it's just not on any magnitude that people like me and you that are moving around the city can actually touch, taste, feel.
I don't know what it is. I just think sometimes people think that the black, you know, black buying power is just not worth it, you know what I mean? They probably just don't want to invest in it, because if you want to do an award show, it costs money.
It's expensive. Or not, you're telling me, I mean, even just putting on the British Plus Size Fashion Weekend, we spent tens of thousands of pounds, and people just think, okay, tomorrow I could go recreate the same thing, but it really isn't that easy. Who are some of your role models in that case then, in the UK or, you know, further abroad, if that you use to move you forward in a way?
My role models have always been, you know, American, to be honest. I don't necessarily have any British role models, sorry to say. Mine are all American. So, like, you know, Oprah Winfrey is a big role model of mine. Like Beyonce, Tyra Banks, you know, like the mogul women that have built empires. Yeah, those were kind of my role models. But, I mean, I like people like... Puff Daddy is a big you know, inspiration for me.
And I like the way he's recently changed his stance slightly. I mean, and he's focusing heavily on you know, race and trying to move the people of color communities forward. And I feel like it's really important that somebody with such a voice just turns his light on our direction, because even though we are doing relatively well for our ages and stuff, the reality is that there could be more of us doing well, and more information, and more people need to take the time that have already done what we're trying to do, need to turn around and just say, you know, here's a hand, do this, or try and do this better, so that we don't make as many errors, and then we can pass the baton down a little bit faster, you know.
Exactly. Now, I really like the way that he's kind of more concentrating a bit more now and giving back.
Yeah.
I've noticed that, and I think it's a really good look. Definitely.
How about the political stuff that's going on in the UK now? Has that affected your business in any way, and the direction that you're taking, you know, mentoring and helping young girls specifically? Because the way politics is going now, it's before when we were younger, we could really get away from it. But now, if you're not paying even the slightest bit of attention to what's going on in the world, I mean, you could find yourself in a terror attack without even knowing, just based on the fact that you haven't even been watching the news or paying any attention to the political climate that surrounds us, you know?
Exactly. I mean, the only thing, I guess, is a lot of corporates and brands, they fund our work.
Yeah.
So, you know, Brexit has a lot of implications now in terms of whether companies will be based in the UK is hit their bottom line.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of budget restraints now. A lot of companies we're working with are restructuring.
Yeah.
So a lot of all these idiots who voted for Brexit because they wanted to be racist and, you know, what they don't realise is the implications on, you know, people and their livelihoods.
And now the Uber effect that just, you know, the Uber confirmation that they're going to be no longer trading within the UK starting from September the 30th, Uber actually tweeted out and said that it basically shows that the UK lacks innovation. And I mean, I've been shouting that for so long.
It lacks innovation, and that's why people become frustrated, which is why I'm kind of a bit bored with the whole scene. It's just boring.
You're the second person I've spoken to this week that said the exact same thing. Like another person I spoke to, another business owner, was just like, the UK just drains me so much.
Yeah, which is why, you know, I am looking at opportunities in Africa, because I really want to be able to kind of at least base myself there, you know, eventually.
Yeah.
Or America, because it's just dry in the UK. It's dry, it lacks innovation. If you're a black person, you have to have 10.5 million PhDs. You have to have, you know, 1.5 billion
and
years.
You have to pretend to be somebody that you're not. And I feel like that is the strain of it all, you know, like a lot of the stuff that people that we potentially would look up to do is become everything that they're not. You know what I mean? And that is probably not as exciting to us anymore. And in America, a lot of people are who they are, do what they do, and are successful at it. So, yeah.
Exactly. So it's just a bit dry. I agree with Uber. Yeah.
So just making a small segue into your international relations.
International relations.
So, and now that you're saying that you want to integrate your business a little bit more heavily in Africa, I know predominantly where that would start from, but can you tell your viewers, can you tell the listeners even where you see your vision and why Africa is so important to you now?
I think it's all, obviously, kind of my background, I'm Zimbabwean, so my family from Zimbabwe, and I think definitely want to do stuff around women empowerment, but also I really kind of want to do like a business in Africa, so it's looking at, you know, natural minerals, resources, looking at infrastructure, and just really innovation, that area in Africa as well is what I'd want to go down. So I've always wanted to start a profit, you know,
something for profit, not just non-for-profit, right?
Exactly. So a lot of my businesses have been about not, you know, social enterprise, so it's not it's not always for profit, but I kind of want to, there's just so much resource in Africa and so much, you know, scope for innovation and ideas.
Yep.
So that's really kind of what I want to, you know, do eventually. But I guess it's just trying to map out a long-term, you know, vision that's going to allow me to leverage that. Yeah.
So touching on future plans and stuff, like, you turned 30 this year, right? And so did I.
Mm-hmm.
And never more than ever, I should say, that I feel kind of an urgency, to sort my life out. Not that it was essentially broken in the first place, but better directions, more goals, and especially around finance. And I know myself, I spent a lot of money in my 20s trying to build my business and, you know, just trying to reach the pinnacles that they say you should reach, right? But now I've got heavy focus on trying to do better with money. What would you say has held you back or, you know, stagnated some of your growth from where you would have wanted to be when you were younger to now in terms of finance?
I mean, I think when you're entrepreneurial, because a lot of people that I know, for example, they've, you know, done the kind of traditional way, got a job, permanent job, you get a mortgage, you buy a house. But for me, I've always been entrepreneurial, and that's, you know, in my 20s, I was investing a lot of my money, doing temporary jobs here and there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to sacrifice that kind of, you know, having savings and stuff, because all my money would go into my business.
Yeah.
And it still does. I don't have savings. I don't have a mortgage. So it's kind of like now when I'm 10 and 30, I'm still trying to, you know, give a few more years to invest in my business. And then I think I'll decide, right, like, how do I set myself up?
Yeah.
But it's a choice that you have to make. You know, do you want to kind of go down the safe route? You know, and now, you know, and or kind of, you know, take a risk and invest in your business. I think the mistakes I made, maybe I would have saved a bit more.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I did have really good experiences, but I definitely think I would have saved a bit more, because it's funny, because I can survive on less than, you know, what I had then.
Ain't that the truth, right?
Then I had so much and I just didn't save it. So that was just
yeah, but that's probably a lot to do with the knowledge that we didn't essentially receive. And this is why the advice you didn't take is so important to me. Like, even if only one girl or guy ever listens to the advice you didn't take, it's important because, you know, gems like this, like, fair enough, your route is to hustle, and wait for the breakthrough. And my route was hustle, wait a minute, I need to pay attention.
Exactly.
Wait, get a house quickly, and then hustle. And don't get me wrong, getting a house has definitely set me back. But I wish that I had had the knowledge earlier on to say, Rem, when you're working, you need to put X, Y, and Z amount away, because there will become a time that X, Y, and Z happens and you need to be ready. But saying that, I feel like you as well, like, in terms of, it's a time thing, isn't it? Like, you put the energy in, a guaranteed reward should come in some capacity. When it comes, nobody has the answer to that, but the work should pay off in some capacity, you know?
Exactly. I guess you just don't know when, because I'm still in that position where I'm just like, you know, you're still trying to sort of wait for it to really, 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 really pay off.
Yeah. But, you know? I mean, you're definitely, if you haven't given yourself enough credit, which I'm sure you haven't, I want to give you some credit, because you are definitely one of those women that inspire me far beyond the reaches of social media. And when we sit and we have our little catch-ups every like 12 months whenever we're able to, we always come with the most realest conversations, and it puts me into perspective also. And I just want to commend you on your efforts, man, because you're actually allowing others to see that it can be done. Like, if you really want to put all your energy into something, anything is really, really possible. And I just want to say congratulations, man. Absolutely.
Oh, thanks, man. I really appreciate that. And the same as, you know, with you as well. Do you know what I mean? And you inspire me in so many ways as well. So
I think that not enough girls turn around and just tell the other person that, you know, whatever it is, however it is that you get there, like, we're behind you, and we need to be a bit more vocal with stuff like that. I'm not going to keep you too much longer, but I do want to ask you two more questions in relation to what would you say to a little you? So I always have this segment where I say, dear little me, what would you have said to a younger you? And also, I wanted to touch on your goals and your motivations and how you stay motivated. So, any which way.
Okay, so what would I say to dear younger me? I would just say, oh my God, a lot of things. Like, you're so beautiful.
Yes.
Dump him.
Yes.
What else would I say? Don't listen to your parents.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that?
Yeah, because, you know, yeah, because my parents were saying, do medicine, do this, do that. Don't listen to them. Follow your heart. And follow your skills. Follow what you're good at.
Yeah, and tap into those, right?
Yeah, tap into that. Don't always try and do what's, you know, everyone tells you to do and what's a safe career. Tap into your skills. Follow what your strengths. Follow your passions.
Yes.
And, you know, it will be okay.
It will be okay, yeah. Won't it? I think that sometimes we worried ourselves so much into a frenzy, especially when we were younger, that we weren't doing what the older girls was doing. Like, we wasn't buying our Louis bags then. We wasn't getting the red bottoms then. You know what I mean? And so a lot of the trial and error was trying to figure it out. But hopefully now the world has moved so much with the internet and stuff that, you know, younger people can find the information that they need faster and sooner before they make the errors.
Exactly.
And what are the goals for you, Vanessa, moving forward? What's the 5-year plan, girl?
5-year plan? Oh my gosh, you know what? I don't have one anymore. I used to...
If you met Vanessa back in 2009, 2010, she would have read your rights. She would have had a 20-year plan.
I know. And the thing is, now I'm at the point where I don't even have a 1-year plan. Yeah, I just think... For me, what I'm doing now, because I've had vision boards and I've said, you know, I want to be, you know, married by the time, I want to have kids by the time, I want to have this, and it never works out that way. I had 5-year plans for previous businesses and what I want, it just doesn't work out that way. And so I'm literally taking one day at a time, but I have, you know, goals.
Yeah.
Instead of a 5-year plan, I just have a kind of a life plan, if that makes sense.
Yeah, what like do I want to
do
almost?
Yeah, so what do I want to do? So okay, what, you know, what things do I want to achieve, and then what steps am I going to do in the next 3 months and the next 6 months to get me to that, you know, to my dream, my vision, even for my business?
Yeah,
I had like a target of income, for example, which is, you know, fair enough. You have a target income, but you know that I only do that on a yearly basis because things change all the time.
That's so refreshing to hear. Like, I haven't heard somebody say that they haven't got shit planned out to the latter recently. Everybody seems to be having some type of... Like, I don't make vision boards, and I think people think that's crazy, but even though I'm a very visual person, I write my goals down in the back of my diary, and I adjust them accordingly, and I carry my diary with me every day, right? So if I achieve something, I cross it off. If something needs amending, I just rewrite it. Because the reality is that we have 24 hours in a day, but stuff happen all throughout the day, you know?
Well, that's the thing. But also, you know, even for a business, things change. You had Brexit, you could have a terrorist attack. You could, and then they completely can just, you know, change everything about, you know, your business. So there's no point having a 3-year plan. Have a year plan and then review it at the end of the year for another year plan. I just don't think... The way that the world is changing so fast and rapidly,
yeah.
The 5-year plan thing is quite difficult. I'm not saying you shouldn't do one, but I'm just saying it don't feel, I don't feel pressure to do that. I just know for me, I definitely, you know, want to focus a bit more, like I said to you, about going expanding globally. So looking at Africa, looking at America.
Yeah, I think you would be dope in America as well, because I think you're the perfect type of person to bridge the gap between the UK and the US market. Like, when I look online, I see loads of girls that inspire me, and they're similar to how you inspire me, you know. And I think the US market would be Africa's going to be phenomenal, but I think the US market can just, you could bridge that gap between the US and the UK, and I think you'll do a splendid job of that.
Thanks, hon. Yeah, I'm hoping to. So I think definitely trying to sort of look at ways to go, you know, yeah, broaden out in the States, and really want to focus on my presenting and writing. Like, that's what I want to spend more time doing.
Are you actually putting that into, are you investing enough time into doing that though? Like, I know you're a busy woman, but are you putting
That's a good question. So definitely, you know, I have ideas about kind of expanding my writing further, but also in terms of presenting, like, we're doing more, looking at doing an interview series for Girls Talk. Yeah. I'm starting a podcast as well.
Wicked.
She has to come on that one as well.
Nice. Of course.
I'm just trying to get more content out. So, like I said, I am quite busy, but I'm now trying to focus a lot more time on actually that, like, my personal career.
As in your personal brand, the Vanessa brand, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think, okay, what, you know, what is it that I want to do, and how I want to brand myself?
Yeah.
Because I'm very well known for the things I do, which is great, but I want to really kind of think about, what do I want to do? And what I want to do is presenting and writing.
Yeah, you know, you should say that, because over the last 8 months, I haven't done anything fashion related. I've shown at shows, but I haven't actually created any new collections. I haven't done anything in terms of actual garment preparation. And it's so funny, because fashion is definitely what's super rooted within my fibre, but I felt like life was getting away from me. And in order to claw that back, I had to work on Remy. Like, so I have my I Am Remy Ray page. I have my Remy Ray London page. And the reason why I have more than one page is because they are two different things. I'm Remy anyway, and Remy Ray London is something that I set up. You know what I mean? And it's kind of the gift and the curse of having a brand that is your name. because you can't never seem to get away from it. You know what I mean? Like Gucci, we don't know who owns Gucci. We don't know who owns Fendi and Chloe and so forth and so on. But because our names are at the forefront of what we do, we have to be mindful to grow them simultaneously with anything else that we do. So I totally feel you on that one.
Exactly.
And that's it, girl.
Yeah, you've come to that was fun.
Thank you so much for blessing us with your time, your energy. How can we find you? How can people get in touch with you? What's coming up for you? Tell us.
Yeah, I mean, what's coming up? I'm starting a podcast called Afterworks. Well, the Afterworks Drinks Club.
Yes.
When
are we launching?
November, so go, mid-November.
Go, girl.
The After Work Drinks podcast. And then we've got a pop-up festival, the I Am Mogul pop-up festival with Girls Talk London.
So nice.
A series of pop-up events on fashion, beauty, business, health, wicked, well-being, 20th to the 25th of November. So on Twitter and Instagram, we're on at Girls Talk London. So you can find out more about us. And then me, Twitter and Instagram, at Vanessa, S-A-N, YAUKE.
Wicked! Thank you so much for having us.